This is interview number two with Margie Salazar McSwain, conducted for the Rosie the Riveter Revisited Project on November 3rd, 1980, in her home in the East LA Montebello area. Interviewer is Sherna Gluck. We start with, it seems that as far as I could tell from listening to the end of the tape, it seemed to me that there was almost a four-year stretch from the time your father died and you graduated from high school till you finished beauty college at about the age of 20, you said.
I think so.
Rose
figures that I was younger, but I don't know. To me, it seemed to me it was older because I stop and think of the events concerning it, you know. She says, my God, I don't think you were that age, because it was way before you were 21. So it's kind of confusing, really in there, because we had so much turmoil.
Yeah.
And then my brother was killed a little after that. It just, you know.
Now, but your father died in April, you said.
We figure in latter part of April. She was going to look it up in 32 or 33, around there. 33, she figures. And just talking back and forth over the phone, you know. But she's such a busy person. Yeah. I bet she hasn't even looked at anything.
And you say before he died, though, that he had made some arrangements about the property?
He talked to Rose. He called Rose. And he told her not to try and handle things herself. Get a lawyer, because he had, not only that, he had a couple other places, too. And not to try and handle everything herself, because he didn't have a will, he didn't have anything made, just joint tenancy, probably. And not to try to handle it, because that was very valuable property. You can imagine the whole square there in 3rd and Fairfax, you know. We were just dumb, I should say, unworldly wise, and she got the wrong lawyer. Well, I got some chickens here that clip their wings a bit.
Does she recall how much you got out of it?
No, she didn't remember. She says that it was in payment, and the down payment was what Mom used to get this other property over here. And that's what she wanted. Or she'd be near her mother.
Well,
did everything.
And it's only in later years that you realize that you didn't get as much as you probably should have gotten.
Yes, right. But at the time, Dad, in a way, he was doing his best, but he figured he was sheltering us girls. He wanted us to go to school, stay home, get married, raise a home, making us all those points to raise a home and have a home, putting his hopes on his boys growing up. And when this just caught him, it was a matter of 2 weeks, she says, and he was gone. So, probably.
Gracie wasn't living back
home. No, he was still married. He had passed on. She passed away when I was about 12 years old, I think, or maybe less. She, yes, because I went and stayed with her while she was bedridden, because the doctor told her, he advised her not to have any more, period. But she wanted another child desperately, and she was having appendix problems. So they put ice packs on her to hold it till after the baby was born. But when the baby was born, afterwards, it burst. Mm-hmm. And she just couldn't take the complications with the childbirth and everything. She passed away. Mm-hmm. And the baby was only junior. I don't think he was 2-3 months old when she
My mother?
So the man, my brother-in-law, remarried. And we stayed very close, actually. Like I said, Margie's mother looks to me like her second mother to this day. And they stayed with us till he remarried, and I think Nina and Junior must have been about 5, 6.
And so then when you moved back over to Boyle Heights after your father's death, your grandmother and your aunt were both over in that neighborhood.
Yes, they were living right next door. They bought the house right next door. Mm-hmm. In fact, Rose was explaining to me, no, she says, Mom bought the property. It was a large place, two houses, and then she sold half to her sister. That way they were nice and close together.
Oh, I see. And during this, it turns out that you probably...
I have pictures of working for Dr. Itchioka Clinic, which we still see. It's still established there. And I told Rose, well, when did I work for the yarn place and when did I work? She says, I can't really remember, but it was in that period there because you were trying to go to school and... to do both, or whatever the reason. The reception is taking appointments and, you know, it's all writing down the appointments of the patients and stuff like that.
And what was Rose, what kind of...
She worked in millinery for a while, and then she worked in millinery. She worked in millinery for a while, and then she went to work for something else, and eventually she went to night school and started working for insurance firm, Golden State or Golden something, she told me. And then when she got married, she quit, stayed home.
In that period when you...
War period, okay. Around there. Because they got married, he went overseas.
Oh.
In fact, he didn't know his child till he came back. He left her pregnant.
And your brothers then, when you first moved over on 4th Street, were, one of them was in high school.
Joe. And I think Eddie was in junior high or going into high school, because they were only 2 years
mm-hmm.
apart. Either that. And Leo was going to school. They were all going to school,
mm-hmm.
period.
And when was it, during the war or before the war, that your brother was killed, Joe?
Well, I can almost tell by his picture there and the date. I know that's when all those problems.
Yeah.
This was 1940.
That's when he.
But mm-hmm. what? He was going to college around, say, shall we say, 41, 42,
oh, okay.
maybe.
Okay, maybe we should wait to talk about that.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about the feelings about the Pachucos and the suits
mm-hmm.
and that style of dress. Tell me, does your life seem to focus so much?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was really social clubs, select groups, that didn't go for that sort of deal, that liked to have a good time in a nice way. I don't think I ever became acknowledged drugs or heavy drinking. There was cocktails, there
mm-hmm.
was, but we never saw anybody falling all over the place. And we went to the mountains. We'd go to swimming at Binney.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go horseback riding. All this section here, we'd go horseback riding. There was no homes here. We'd go horseback riding. I've got pictures of all those activities we used to do. And there were about five social clubs in L.A. at the time. They would throw dances and affairs for this group.
It was for basically all East L.A., Boyle Heights, Montebello.
No, because a lot of the clubs were really from the west side.
Oh, I see.
Like Imperio, Superba, and those were from, so it was really from all over, because we had dances at the Huntington Hartford. We had dances in the it was
mm-hmm.
quite widely spread,
mm-hmm.
quite widely spread.
Were these just formed right around this time period, or had they been around for a while,
I think they had been around a while, but we actually didn't go into them till I was around 1920, around
mm-hmm.
then. I think we were filling our wings, shall we say. We were so sheltered, so kept at home, mm-hmm. that we were beginning to see friends and make our own friends and go. And Mom approved of them.
Mm-hmm.
She saw how they were, and she approved of them. For my 18th birthday, I told you she gave me that party. And she got to meet a lot of people and see the way they acted. And she started trusting us, shall mm-hmm. I say, more to go out.
It sounds like there was a lot of fear in the neighborhood and among parents about the kids not having wholesome activities.
Uh-huh. I think my mother's family and that particular type people that came were more worried about their children, where they went, what they did. And that's why she, as well as my dad, used to supervise our going and coming so strongly.
Mm-hmm.
They just wanted us to not to get involved with the wrong kind.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would see it, cut it now. And I think that was primarily the reason they supervised it so much.
Mm-hmm.
They were worried. They wanted to see that their kids had the proper and be with the proper friends.
It seems like even before the trouble and the Zoot Suit riots and the dress of the Pachucos, that there was an awareness in the community of creating a more wholesome atmosphere
mm-hmm.
for the teenagers. That there seemed to be quite a consciousness about the difference between the
yes,
two.
Yes, yes. Because even in the parties, in the picnics, they were well supervised. It wasn't just a bunch of kids going to raise holy heck. No, there was always adults around, and we were never doing anything that we wanted to hide, so we didn't care. If several parents came, that was fine.
Because you mentioned that in these clubs there was no heavy drinking or no
mm-hmm.
drugs. What do you think that there was in the among young people in the rest of the community?
Well, there must have been, because drugs have been around forever and ever. But I never became aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Never did. To me, drugs didn't hit me in the face till almost when my kids were already adults, you know,
mm-hmm.
and in school. But and heavy drinking, I never saw my dad drunk. I did see him drink beer,
mm-hmm.
but I never saw him drunk.
But at the clubs, they would serve alcoholic
drinks? Oh, yes.
Drinks?
Yes, because they were made like in the Biltmore,
mm-hmm.
in those Sheraton, those big hotels.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
There was highballs and everything there. But nobody was into heavy drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we were more into having fun and going here
mm-hmm.
and doing that. Like, we were so active, we just as well, like on a Sunday, go swimming, go horseback riding, go swimming, and then go out at night. So we were very active
mm-hmm.
in those respects. That
yeah.
We didn't lack for idleness, I guess.
Well, how large was the membership in the... You said there were five clubs. How large was the membership in that?
Oh, God, ours was, I'd say, 30, 35 people.
Mm-hmm.
I could have counted there and see about how many members was... Because I have a regular book. One year we put out a book of all about the club.
Oh.
Pictures of all the members. And our, how do you say, our patron, we call her, but I shall say the chaperone
mm-hmm.
that would take care of it, and the doctor and all that. And I'd say about roughly 35.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you go about joining it?
I guess it was word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Word of mouth. And then we had regular initiations. We'd put mustaches, or we'd take them to some skating ring and initiate them there. It was always one of those crazy affairs
mm-hmm.
like that. They have a big party or something, you know. Or it was always a lot of fun. It was just a happy time.
But I wasn't too clear about where they met, or besides the dances and the
mm-hmm.
activity. Would you have meetings?
Originally, we met at Mrs. Martinez's house. That was our chaperone or sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a huge, I recall, a huge two-story house. And we used to meet there on Sunday afternoons. Then, as the membership got established more, I guess, and more new ideas, then we rented a hall. We used to rent a hall for Sunday afternoons and have our meetings in the hall.
And what would happen at the meeting?
Well, make the plans for the following activities, report what was made in the last dance, because we charge in some of those dances, and wherever the money was going, what it was going to be used for and all that, all the regular reports mm-hmm. like that. And we had a regular secretary, bookkeeper, or whatever, you know, the whole bit, treasurer and everything.
And if you didn't make
well, I was asking Rose to remind me about that. She says that we had baskets in Thanksgiving and in Christmas. Those are where our primarily things. We'd get recommendations from different people. Those were the main things we used to save for. She says the dances were not that lucrative, shall I say. And then, put aside for, she says we had three dances or two dances, very big affairs. Mm-hmm. One was our anniversary dance, and then there was a Halloween dance, and what was the other? I think she said just a dance we'd pick off mm-hmm. the top of the head. And those were free. In other words, people that would come to the pay dances, our steady customers, were invited by invitation for those dances. And the money that was used would be to give this free dances for them.
I see. And how many people would come to a dance?
Quite a bit. Have you ever been to the Breakfast Club? Riverside Breakfast mm-hmm. Club? Los Feliz Breakfast Club? The place was packed, jam-packed. I can show you pictures there where there was a lot of people would come. But like we had one year, we had a farm dance or something like that? They all came dressed like mm-hmm. farmers. Mm-hmm. And we had a ranchero dance. We all came dressed that way. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of people would come. But
did you ever have trouble with non-club members or people outside of this group?
That was the odd part. No, because it seemed that it was Rose, Grace, and I were in the club. And we were usually one of us at the door. They always had two girls and a man at the door. And I guess they respected us so much, or they liked us. Never did. And I recall many times where I refused to sell a ticket to a fellow because he didn't have a tie on, or he didn't have a suit, he had a sweat. And I never had any problems. Many, many times. And, in fact, some were my friends. Oh, come on, Margie, this and then the other. I'd say, no, I'm sorry, those are the rules. Go buy yourself a tie or go home and get a tie or something. You know, it was comfortable with an open shirt. And, no, I don't recall ever having any kind of a problem. Of course, maybe the fact that we usually had them in rather nice places.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they were very often outside the community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yes. There was a place called a very famous Casa de Rosas. That is on Hoover near the, Melbourne School? No, not that. It's a famous girls' school. It's been known for a long, long time, and it's a beautiful building there. And we had most of our parties and things there. But otherwise, when we were expecting a lot of people, we had to rent a large hall. Hmm. Naturally, went to paint the hall, paint the orchestra, the tickets, and all that sort of stuff.
Now, you were involved primarily in one club?
Yes.
What was the name of that one?
Young Soul, Alma Joven.
And you'd go to the activities of
The others, yes, and they would come to ours.
Mm-hmm.
But we were members of this club. And we were supposedly, at the time, the most active of all clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And we established the Black and White Ball here in Los Angeles. I was the first representative for it. And it's to this day, but it's been more commercialized mm-hmm. now. Then it was strictly, each club would pick a girl. And then that night they would pick the queen, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to wear, the girls had to wear white formals and the boys dark suits or tuxedos.
And this would be put on by the five clubs
together? By the five clubs together, yes.
Now, were the clubs all Mexican youth, or were there other young
Ours was primarily that. I think there was one or two that weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other clubs did have a mixture. But ours, I think there was just one or two, Silver and Perry. I was looking at the, trying to remind myself on the friends. I could see that there was just one or two in our club, maybe three at the most. But the others, some of the others did have.
Mm-hmm. And would those have been, for instance, the Jewish teenagers from the neighborhood?
Jewish and Italian. I think Jewish or Italian was primarily what we used to come in contact mostly with in those years.
The other question I wanted to ask about the earlier period was, you and Molly and Rose seem to all be so close and do things with each other. Did you have, were there any other young women that you were close to in those days?
Not as close as to Molly, no. No. Because we used to go out together, you know, and do things together. But there was a lot of girls that we were friendly with. And we'd get together and talk at the dances and then the picnics or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that we picked each other up or we met each other, I think Molly was the closest one for all of us.
Now, is there anything else during that period before we start talking about the war years that you recall that we didn't cover?
No, because I told you everything what we did with the clubs.
And by this point, your brother had gotten an athletic scholarship and was over at...
He started going to the clubs with us. Joe did. I have pictures of him with us at the clubs. So he was, I think, 20 when he was killed. And he started out in that line, and he was working and going to school. And that's when he was killed.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it'd be a good idea to talk about that now, even before we start talking about your work, because it gives a sense of, from talking about the clubs, you get a sense of there being some real differences in the community between, say, the young people who are involved in clubs and the beginning of some of the gang activity.
I don't recall too much gang activity at that. I think the gang activity really, really started when, just about when the war broke out. I think that's when it actually did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't recall having problems with them. Living right there in Eastside, you'd say, you know, you'd have a lot of problems. But I think just around when the war broke out, around that era, I think that's when it really, really was coming to a head.
And how would that affect you when it did start developing?
I don't think it, we were involved with going to church and going to our clubs and most of the time going out of the community for our affairs. I don't think it bothered us at all. In fact, we didn't expect to for it to bother us as much as it eventually did when my brother was killed. But like him, he was going to school. He was working and going to school.
Mm-hmm.
He just went to see that girl, and he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Yes.
Well, were you afraid, for instance, to go out on the street as the gang activity developed?
No. We didn't walk the streets around there, but we'd be picked up there. People would come over to our house, like for a Thanksgiving dinner. In fact, when my sister got married, we had the wedding at home.
Mm-hmm.
We had no problem. None whatsoever. So when Rose say she got married when, I believe she told me 28. She was 28 when she got married. And we had the wedding right there at home, and we had no problems, and we were living right there in the middle of the East Side.
So there wasn't a...
I don't think it was, not yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's nothing like what it's now.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything like that.
Now, when do you recall your feelings about the draped pants and the zoot suits that some of the young men were beginning to wear, and about the young women and how they were dressing who were involved in...
I think that... We actually started seeing that around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't approve of it, and we didn't dress that way. So we must have kept away from those people because, I've got pictures galore. They're my brothers, and none of them have anything like that. Of course, they were just growing up. I know that that was the style. That was what the drapes, like now with the girls are coming out with the pleats on the pants. That was the style of the era. But we never went for that excessive makeup or the tight pants or whatever they wore. The pants we wore were relaxed, but not exaggerated. And the same with our friends. They wore the normal business suit. So I think we just kept away from them and just didn't become involved. That was an entirely different bunch of people, probably. It's hard to tell you because being that we didn't give it a second thought, we figured it's a little thing that's going to come up now and it's going to go away. Exaggerated style of dress that's going to come and go away. Never expecting them to take over as much as it did eventually, you know, how you saw them all over and all that. But I think we figured to leave them alone. Don't mix with them.
And how about your brother? Did he dress it all like that?
No. I have pictures there, and both him and Eddie, which were the older ones. Jimmy and Leo were still little boys. But I can see pictures there of them that neither one of them. Maybe the kids that were involved like that might have been more dropouts, shall we say, with time on their hands, whereas these kids didn't have. And they went, and Eddie went into the service so young, and so did Leo. In fact, they were only 17, I think, or 18, and they both went in the Navy.